with the first pick in the draft, second pick, the third pick, with the fourth pick, the fifth pick.
Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson.
Catch that coming down to the turf. Agnew splitting a couple of tacklers. There he goes, 35-40. He's in the clear. Jamal Agnew, he's gone. 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about that, rookie?
You're listening to Fantasy Advice Bros. Here's your host, Ali.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ali. I am joined by my brother, Rams, and we are the Fantasy Advice Bros. And I want to tell the people, Rams, that I sent you a video that I can stand on my head.
This is true. This is true.
I've been taking yoga lessons, and that's really the payoff, is I can stand at my head at my age, and I feel very flexible.
You should feel flexible. I'm uber impressed. I'm also very down on myself, given the fact that I'm a bit younger than you, and never in a million years could I do that.
And by a bit, you mean 8 years? Have you tried it after I sent you the video that I...
No, I would collapse onto myself. I know better. I know my limitations.
You should try it sometime, though. You know, it took a little bit of practice and a lot of effort.
I got a yoga like you, apparently.
Well, you know what? The yoga really does help stretch the body and the soul. And Rams, I want to remind the people that you and I are big advocates of the app called Draft. You can go to draft.com to read all about it. You can download the app from the App Store. And Rams, you've been telling the people for the last few episodes that, hey, you use the Draft app. Do you want to tell them about it?
So, yeah, I got it. So, I like this app. I liken this to the fantasy football version of a productive one-night stand. Essentially, you get in, you get out, there's no strings attached, and it just kind of works. So the biggest differentiator between this and like all the other daily fantasy apps is there's no salary cap. It's literally just a draft. Five players or so, you get in, you get out. Most of the drafts will last for 2 minutes or less. So that's super, super efficient. And we've got a promo code for you all for when you sign up. Use the promo code RTNBA. And you'll get free $3 to put into your bankroll to play around with.
RTNBA?
You got it.
And one more time, RTNBA does what?
It gives you $3 into your bankroll just for signing up for you to play around with. They have $1 contests. They have $100 contests. You can really do kind of whatever you want. But just to get started, you know, that $3 will help you just to get the lay of the land, kind of.
Sounds good to me. All right, and now we're back into NFL Week 7. We are shooting this as traditionally Thursday night. Tonight is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Oakland Raiders. Kansas City favored by 3. The over-under is 47, which I find to be low. We won't talk about the players because by the time this hits, it's going to be irrelevant. Kansas City minus 3 in Oakland. A rivalry game, an old-school AFL game even. What do you think?
Gotta take the Chiefs. So the Chiefs will be in the Raiders 5 times in a row. The Raiders are in shambles. I don't look for them to really get it together on a short week. Derek Carr's not healthy. Amari Cooper's in witness protection. I'm all about the Chiefs this week.
Give me credit, that was funny. Yes. You know what? I completely agree. Over under 47. Do we like it?
No. Thursday nights are gross typically. So I would do the under.
Although last week the Carolina Philadelphia game was probably the highest quality Thursday night game you're gonna get all season, right?
Those are two very, very good teams. The Chiefs are a really good team, but Oakland, I don't know what to expect from them. They haven't really been good for the bulk of the year.
Okay, easy enough. Let's go to the Sunday 1 p.m. game. The first game looks like it's gonna rank high in the Pooper Bowlville, but Tennessee coming off an impressive Monday night fourth quarter comeback at Cleveland. Tennessee minus 5.5. On the Tennessee side of the ball, who can you trust?
Delanie Walker, gold. Cleveland is terrible against the tight end. We chronicle that just about every week. Derrick Henry's the guy in the backfield, apparently. DeMarco Murray's banged up. He's being outplayed, and he might not even play. So Derrick Henry, easy, no-brainer this week. I can also see rolling out Mariota, no problem. He's definitely less than 100%, but against Cleveland, that's kind of okay.
So Eric Decker, a guy we advocated for a while, he had a pretty good bounce back game Monday night. What do you think?
Nothing. I don't trust any of their pass catchers outside of Delaney Walker. Yeah.
Okay.
No chance.
On the Cleveland side of the ball, I'm going to continue to roll out Njoku as my tight end and hope for the best. Duke Johnson. Anybody else?
No, honestly, not even Njoku. He's too boom or bust for me. We'll go on. There's a few tight ends that I like that I think you can grab that you won't have to start.
Look at that. We are being teased. Okay. Anybody else on the Cleveland side or did
Heck
that go?
No.
Just Duke Johnson?
Yep.
All right. Tennessee, 5.5 in Cleveland coming off a Monday night victory.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what. This is a spot where if Cleveland was worth anything, like they would be ripe for getting their first win.
Mr. Fire up the
Tennessee,
train himself.
Are we doing it? On the road after a short week, quarterback is less than 100%.
Go ahead, Kyle.
With all of that said, no chance. 0-16 train rolling on the tracks.
Ugh, you're such a Debbie Downer.
Never.
Spread 5.5. What do you think?
Tennessee, dude. Easy. Deshaun Kaiser? Come on.
I'm taking the plus on it. Short week.
Of course you are.
Over under 46?
Over.
Yeah, I'm on the under side. All right. Next game. Definitely in the pooper can. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Jacksonville's favored by 3. Over under 44. On the Jacksonville side of the ball, Leonard Fournette last week broke a 75-yard touchdown at 21.5 miles per hour.
I love that stat.
That was
That's
the
so good.
Second fastest touchdown time this season, followed by Leonard Fournette, who was in first place with 22.5 miles per hour.
Oh, Lord.
Jacksonville side of the ball. You're starting Leonard Fournette and who else?
Just Fournette confidently if he plays. If he doesn't, Ivory's a super easy plug and play for the week. Because Fournette, you know, he says he feels okay, but
he's
he says
gonna
it's
play.
Up to the coaches.
Let's say he's going to play. Okay, who else?
If you want to take a chance on Marquise Lee, Bortles targets him a little bit, but it's up and down. I don't love it, but
That's a desperate flyer to me. I wouldn't even bother with him, honestly.
That's fair. It's very fair.
Okay, so nobody else on the Jacksonville side of the ball and their defense, of course.
Yeah.
And on the Colts side of the ball, short week for them, I'm rolling out Frank Gore. Because of byes, I'm going to flex him out. I know he only touches the ball like 10 times. I'm hoping for the best because Jacksonville's run defense can be had a little bit. Rumbling Robin Turbin is IR. Marlon Mack is going to get love. Now, limited carries. So I'm rolling out Gore. I'm not rolling out Mack.
That's cool. I'm flexing Mack.
I wish you luck with that.
Look, it's risky. It's most definitely risky. There's no guarantee of touches or anything like that. Turbin going down is the big help. And then the other thing, you don't pass on Jacksonville. We've chronicled it before.
Yeah, so T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton's an easy bench this week, I think.
Sucks to be an owner of T.Y. Hilton.
You know what? You drafted him kind of optimistically hoping luck was going to come back at some point, and not surprisingly, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. If you own T.Y. Hilton this year, you need to really, really mitigate your expectations going forward. With that said, yeah, so back to Mac. I think he's have decent flex play because Jacksonville can be had in the run game. And look, Frank Gore doesn't play third downs a lot, so there should be opportunity.
He's averaging literally 10 touches a game, so yeah. I agree with you completely.
It's a risky flex play, but I'm good with it.
Very risky. Okay, so no receivers. Jack Doyle?
I'm okay with Doyle. Brissett seems to like him. He targets him a lot.
He does get a ton of targets.
He gets targeted a lot. He had a really bad game Monday night. Well, I know he scored.
He had the touchdown. And I think he's going to want to make up for it. So if I had Doyle, I'm rolling him out. Okay, Jacksonville -3 in Indy. We both like?
Yes.
Okay. Next game, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. In division rivalry game, Pittsburgh is favored by 5 because it's in the catch-up stadium of Heinz Field. Cincinnati side of the ball, A.J. Green.
Mixon. You got to roll out Mixon.
Still gambling.
Pittsburgh's run defense isn't really good. It's their pass defense. That's terrific.
Yep, that's right.
I think they're yielding 4.7 yards per carry. Mixon hasn't been all that impressive this year, admittedly, but he's getting the vast majority of the touches in the backfield now after Bill Lazor took over as OC. They're coming off a bye, so you got to roll out Mixon.
Okay. Pittsburgh side of the ball, the obvious now is Antonio Brown, and I promise you I will never, ever, ever, ever wonder why I drafted Le'Veon Bell again.
Those
I
are good times the first few weeks.
Love that guy. He started just so slow. It took him a minute to get his legs. Beyond Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, are you rolling any other Steeler out?
No, since he's got a nice defense. I know Pittsburgh is at home. I wouldn't do Ben this week. Martavis Bryant, that guy's a head case. See you later.
Yeah, I know.
I like Juju a lot. I'd still roster him. I would not start him this week.
You know, Cincinnati has a deceptively good front seven. I'm sorry. Their D-line and their linebacking core.
Yeah, look, their defense as a whole is very, very good.
It really is. Yeah. Okay, Pittsburgh -5.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh at home.
I do too. And that 5 is like the right clip for me.
Agreed, yeah.
At 6, I would have pushed her win under.
I think Dalton will find a way to mess it up.
Okay. In what might be the defensive game of the week, Baltimore at Minnesota.
Ugh.
Minnesota -6. Ravens side of the ball. Who are you rolling out other than Justin Tucker?
Buck Allen, because he still gets the lion's share of the touches in that backfield. And he's a starting back. You're going to roll him out.
Sure.
That's it, though.
No wide receivers.
No, no Mike Wallace. I mean, Minnesota secondary is very, very good. No Mike Wallace or Macklin or anything like that. Flacco looks cooked, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like he got paid. He came back from surgery and said, you know what? I don't care enough, right? Okay, Minnesota side of the ball. Other than Jerick McKinnon, Adam Thielen, because Stephon Diggs likely not to play, right?
Yes.
So
either way, yeah.
McKinnon, thank you. Thielen and anybody else?
McKinnon's played his way into an every week must start. He's
agreed.
He's been terrific since Cook went down. So he was definitely the one to grab there.
Yeah.
No, that's it. Kyle Rudolph, they've still yet to involve. I don't know how
Rudolph and Sam Bradford have good rapport. He does not with Case Keenum.
I don't know how you can trust Rudolph, so I wouldn't start Rudolph. So just really McKinnon and Thielen, like you
said. Totally agree. Minnesota -6. I actually like it.
I think Baltimore will cover and might still lose. I can see it being a 3-point game.
Hey, the over-under is 39.5. Would you bother with it?
No, and if I was going to do anything, I would do under. Look, man, Brandon Williams coming back is a big, big deal for that Baltimore defense. Without him, they yield like 150 yards on the ground, and with him, it's only like 80 or 90.
Because he deserves double teams.
He's a huge difference maker.
Okay, let me get you to a game that excites me more because the over-under is less than 37.
Gross.
New York Jets at Miami Dolphins.
Gross.
Miami is favored by 3.
Ugh.
Jets side of the ball, your boyfriend BP is going to fire up the train. If he plays, do you start him and who else?
All right, so here's the deal. That backfield is an absolute mess. I own Powell. I'm probably not going to roll him out this week just because I want to see how things shake out on the backfield. The only one that I will semi-confidently recommend in that backfield is Matt Forte because they're committed to getting him the ball. He's catching passes. And Todd Bowles, he just seems to kind of be his favorite for whatever reason.
So we've talked about this before. Miami has a very good front seven.
Agreed. Forte was catching a lot last week, though, too.
Is that why?
Yeah, most definitely. He caught some balls.
That's what I want to make sure.
McCown will check down. Because I'm with you. It's tough to run on Miami.
Miami's secondary can be had a little bit. Any chance if you're desperate enough, you're rolling out McCown?
McCown, no. If you want like a kind of like an upside wideout play, Robbie Anderson gets targeted about a million times a week. He's terribly, terribly inefficient. Like he'll catch 4 balls on 12 targets. But if you want to take a chance on Robbie Anderson, I can see it this week.
Okay. The Miami Dolphins side of the ball, you're rolling out Jay Ajayi.
Ajayi and Landry. That's it. It's that simple.
You know what? I pretty much agree with
that
you.
It's that simple.
It really is. Yeah. Miami -3, over under 37.5.
Dolphins defense will get it done. I would take Miami.
Yeah, by a hair. The 37.5, over under, what do you think?
Ugh, under. 17-14, right?
I disagree. I think we cracked the over here. You know what? When an over-under is this low, you have to take the over. You just have to. You can't assume 17-14. Anyway, next game, no spread. Tampa Bay at Buffalo. Buffalo coming off the bye. The Bucs side of the ball. Go.
Doug Martin looks great. He's in every week start now. Mike Evans, obviously. Cameron Brate, dude.
Have to.
Must. So here's the deal with Brate, and I love this because I own him.
Dun dun.
Since the start of last season, right? So since 2016, Brate leads all NFL tight ends in touchdowns. How freaking terrific is that?
Terrific if you own him.
Yeah, no question. Honestly, I don't feel like Jameis is going to play, even if he does. I'm not really starting him confidently. It's in Buffalo. Buffalo's played pretty good defense thus far, and they're coming off of a bye. So I'd be very, very weary of Jameis this week.
So this season, here's a did you know, teams off a bye don't are 500, and road teams this year are 500. So coming off a bye and being a road team, not necessarily such a bad combination.
Only thing I would, I guess, you know, rebut you with there is it's still a small sample size, right? This is just the third week
and
of
it's
buys.
Extremely rare that the percentage
that's
is high. This year is
I would
more
assume
the
that
outlier.
Right sizes, yeah.
As last week we had two games that with double digit favorites and they both lost, and it's the first time in NFL history that that's happened outright. Okay, so the Bills side of the ball, Tyrod Taylor, Mr. Consistent 18. I know you're not a big fan, LeSean McCoy, and anybody else.
I'm not a huge Tyrod guy, but this is a good spot for him.
Yeah, it is.
I get it. All right, so two upside sneaky-ish plays that I don't really love, but I think is worth mentioning.
Ooh, he said sneaky.
If you really want to take a chance on a tight end, Nick O'Leary is going to start for Charles Clay. He can catch a little bit.
FSU?
He's a decent
he played with Jameis Winston.
Red zone target. Mind you, Tampa Bay's pass defense is abysmal. And then, I don't really recommend it, but if there was ever a week to start Zay Jones, it's this week. He's having a terrible, terrible year. It's all mental. But, I mean, if there's a week to get it together, it's this one if you want to take a chance on a wideout.
Let's just remind the people he broke the all-time college football record for most receptions in the history of college football. So we know he has hands, and we know he has good hands.
He's got talent. Yeah, it's mental
it's
for him.
Just not been happening.
Agreed.
Okay. So no spread on the game, which really bites because I like this. Okay, moving on. Well, let's pick a winner. Tampa Bay at Buffalo. I say Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Carolina at Chicago. Carolina -3. Panther side of the ball. Cam and?
Yeah, McCaffrey, you're starting every week in a PPR.
Okay.
Kelvin Benjamin, if he plays, be wary of that. Devin Funchess has been really, really good these past few weeks. I think he's to a point where you're rolling out Funchess now, right?
I don't think last week he was so hot, but the 2 weeks before that, you're correct.
Yeah.
I think it's a flyer on Funchess, kind of like a couple of, like Robbie Anderson. Like you said, sure. It's kind of a flyer there. You're hoping for the best. The Bears have a shockingly stingy run defense. Their pass defense can be had. I think that's it for the Carolina side.
Yeah, I'm not.
Ed Dixon?
No, not Ed Dixon.
No.
What he did against us was fluky. That was really his, like.
Yeah, but he got targets last week against Philly on Thursday night.
That's true. But I still don't trust it enough, and I'm off Jonathan Stewart. Ugh.
Yeah, no need to even talk about Jonathan Stewart. I am still rostering him because I'm hoping for the best, but I'm really just hoping. Chicago side of the ball, Jordan Howard. I say Tariq Cohen. I think this is a perfect game for Tariq Cohen where he's probably going to catch 5-6 balls. Outside of those two, Kendall Wright?
Negative. For me, it's just Jordan Howard and Zach Miller. Trubisky seems to like Miller. He gets a decent amount of targets. He scored last week for the second straight week, albeit it was off of a halfback pass, but fantasy points are fantasy points. We'll take them all the same. I don't recommend Cohen. I told you last week I'm off of him and I'm still off of him. I don't too much care for his running style anymore, and Benny Cunningham is getting quite a bit around.
I'm gonna tell you why I have a lot of love for Tariq Cohen this week. Carolina Panthers have probably a top three front seven in the NFL.
It's the best to me. Outright.
It could be. Yeah. It absolutely could be. And by that measure, lot of quick throws by Mitch Trubisky, and quick throws are going to lead to checkdowns and slants. And that's why I like Tariq Cohen this week.
I buy it.
Okay. Carolina -3.
Yeah. They're going to harass Trubisky enough into mistakes.
I agree. Completely agree. Next is the greatest defense in the history of defenses.
Hey, we didn't mention Cam. I would start Cam.
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Forgive me. Opened with Cam.
Forgive me.
Forgiven, because I was so excited to tell you about the greatest defense in the history of football, because last week, this franchise broke their all-time pick six record against the Detroit Lions. The New Orleans Saints.
Salt in the wounds, man. Come on, I got a bye week. Let me heal.
I had to. Look, they broke an organizational record. And let me heal, man. It's a team that's been around for decades. Saints at the Packers. Very interesting game because Brent Huntley. Otherwise, it would have been a fun shootout with Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Saints side of the ball. Drew Brees. And here's where it gets dicey for me. We've seen their game plan now with the running backs. Kamara's the guy to start, and he catches, but he's not getting a lot of run between the tackles. And if they start winning, and they could, because they're favored by 6, then Ingram becomes the guy. So would you tell people you have to deploy both? Or
Yeah. You start both, and it's easy, especially in a PPR, which is, you know, what we play in.
Yeah.
It's easy. Kamara gets some carries, and he's very involved in the pass game. Kamara and Ingram are easy to meet. Breeze, obviously. Michael Thomas, obviously. I know Ginn had a really, really nice game against us last week. If you wanted to take a shot on Ginn, I'm okay with that. I'm not a Willie Snead guy. I know a lot of people
are. I'm not either.
He didn't do much last week at all.
Because he barely played.
I'm not really ready to trust him.
But I want to remind the people, last week we cautioned Michael Thomas and said, if Darius Slay is up his rear, he's going to have a very tough day. And that's what ended up happening. Michael Thomas had a very bad game last week.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a different script for him this week, though.
I agree, because nobody in the Packers can cover him the way Darius Slay can.
Agreed.
Packers side of the ball. I am flexing in Aaron Jones because I kind of have to. You're still rolling out Jordy Nelson. What do you think about taking an upside shot on Brent Hundley?
I don't like Hundley. I've never been a fan of him, even going back to him in college. I don't think he's a consistent NFL caliber starting quarterback. I won't do it. I'd rather take like a streaming chance on Tyrod this week, for instance. And not Hundley. But Jordy, obviously, Davante Adams, obviously, and Aaron Jones, I'm kind of okay with. I think they're going to try to lean on the run as best as they can, and Aaron Jones is their best runner, so I'm okay with that.
I just want to say one thing about Brent Hundley. Here's why I would do it, and I do like Tyrod Taylor in general. I think if they get down inside the red zone, he could have a couple of short, dinky touchdowns, and he'll likely be throwing on second and third downs, and I bet you he picks up 200 some odd yards, where his end of game stats, it won't be sexy, will be in the 220, 225 range, and 2 touchdowns and maybe an interception.
He threw 3 picks last week. Now Minnesota's defense is infinitely better than the Saints.
It's polar
and
opposites.
he wasn't preparing to start or anything like that,
and
to be fair.
And he was trying to play from behind.
I'm not quite the fan of the guy.
I'm not a huge fan of him. I just think the matchup is just good enough where if you needed to, I say stream him for the week. Saints -6 in Green Bay. I think it's a sucker's bet. I think it's such a sucker's bet. I don't like it. I think Green Bay hangs around here a little bit better than people anticipate. You?
I think Green Bay will hang and lose. I think Mike McCarthy is a very, very bad coach that's about to get exposed. I really do, and I've been saying that for years.
A lot of people are they saying Aaron Rodgers covers up his bruises. Do you like the Saints -6 in Lambeau?
You know what? Yeah.
I don't.
It's a Lions fan in me partially, but that's okay.
Arizona at the LA Rams. 1 p.m. game, and I constantly caution people.
This game's in London, I think. I'm pretty sure.
At 1 p.m.?
Yep.
Okay. I don't see that here, but I believe you. I'll take your word for it. On the Arizona side of the ball against the Rams, I'm going to tell you right now, I know Adrian Peterson broke out last week. I know Carson Palmer, when he's at home and he's comfortable, looks pretty dang decent. I know there's claims the O-line is getting better, but I would not, and I repeat, I would not start Adrian Peterson this week. I would not roll out Carson Palmer this week. Unless I absolutely have to. I would roll out John Brown. I'd roll out Larry Fitzgerald. And that's it. I know I sound contrarian saying it. I think this Rams defense is the real deal. Aaron Donald has been top 5 D tackle this year in ratings. Go ahead on the Arizona side.
Oh, my God. I could not disagree with you anymore.
That's okay. That's what you're here for.
I confirmed, you know, the game is in London.
Okay.
So there's that. So obviously immense travel for both teams. Carson's been really fantasy good this year. He really, really has been.
Okay.
I'm good with it. The Rams pass defense is middle of the road.
It is. That's right. It's their front 7.
It's not great.
That's right.
Not bad.
That's right.
I would definitely start Peterson, though. You have to.
Not.
But you have to. With bye weeks and everything else, he's going to get all of those touches.
This could be a Kerner-Win Williams game.
Kerwin Williams doesn't carry. He didn't even carry before Peterson got there.
My point is
he
could be catching balls.
No,
or,
wait. Ellington. Ellington, you mean?
Ellington could be catching balls.
You know what? I'm off Ellington. I own him. I'm sad about it. I'm still holding, hoping. Mind you, last week is not going to be the norm for Peterson. I think he's going to come down considerably. But with all that said, you have to start him. You have to.
I don't agree. Okay. Rams side of the ball. Todd Gurley and...
That's about it for me. I'm not a Goff guy. I know a lot of people are kind of relying on Goff. They picked him up after Rodgers went down, and I respect that.
I'd rather start Hundley this week.
I'd rather start Tyrod, and I hate Tyrod.
I'd rather start both. That's right.
In any event, Robert Woods has kind of emerged. So he leads the Rams in receiving yards. If you're going to assume that, I mean, it's true. If you're going to assume that Patrick Peterson is going to be, following Sammy Watkins around.
I don't think he's going to follow one guy. I bet you he switches it up, right?
That's fair. You know, we don't know. Right. My assumption is he'll try to follow Sammy around. And if that's the case, I think that leaves Robert Woods room to work.
Okay. LA Rams are favored by 3.5. I like it.
I don't. I would Arizona here.
Okay. Dallas Cowboys at San Francisco, 4 p.m., Dallas minus 6, easy E. Sounds like he's going to play. I don't want to spend time here. We'll just assume he's
going to
play.
He's going to play anyway.
Okay, so Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, definitely, and
That's it.
Quarterback.
Dak. My boy Dak.
Jason Witten?
Yeah.
Cole Beasley?
No. The volume's not there.
It's really not this year, which is shocking.
It's not there.
Okay. San Francisco side of the ball, the running back situation has just become scary, right? Because
it worked out last week in that.
Because
you
got two short touchdowns. Well,
yeah, but not just that. He dominated the touches in the backfield, too. I think he had 14 carries or 17, and Breida had 4. So
yeah,
it
Hyde
wasn't,
was 14
it wasn't close
for 28.
To a split.
That's right.
I mean, you know.
Anybody else on the 40 San Francisco side?
Yeah,
of the ball?
All right. So Garcon for sure.
PNG.
I'm also super high on George Kittle this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting him. I'm excited about it. So look, right, we do college fantasy. We've talked about
we
it.
We do.
One of the things we always talk about is we want roommates. What does that mean, right? We want a quarterback and a wideout
that sleep in the same bedroom.
Yeah, quite literally, because they have such good chemistry. So this is going to be C.J. Beathard's first start. Went to Iowa. George Kittle, rookie, also
went to Iowa.
They played together for 4 years. They
the
have
pride
chemistry.
Of Kurt Ferentz.
Kittle had 9 targets last week, 8 the week before. He's becoming more and more involved. And, you know, rookie quarterback, first start, he's going to lean on what he knows, you know, and that's going to be his tight end.
Big Ten pride.
I'm all in on George Kittle this week, man.
Big Ten pride.
And he's not really highly owned either. So
Dallas minus 6.
Oh, yeah, Dallas.
Seattle at the New York Football Giants. Seattle minus 5. Seattle's coming off a bye week.
Yep.
Russell Wilson.
I'm reluctantly starting Russell Wilson.
I'm happily starting him.
Okay, perfect. I hope that you're correct because I've got him in my lineup. That entire backfield is a jumbled mess.
Agreed.
I would not mess with it.
Agreed.
CJ Prosise is coming back to take the passing game
Agreed.
Role, whatever that means. I would leave it alone.
Agreed.
I'm starting Doug Baldwin. I'm not thrilled about it
Agreed.
Because Janoris Jenkins, hopefully he doesn't follow
Paul
him
Richardson.
Around. Paul Richardson, I don't too much care for this week, to tell you the truth. I don't see
yeah.
this as a week where Russell Wilson really has a great game. I don't know.
I think you have to roll out Paul Richardson, right? Because if Doug Baldwin's going to get neutralized, who else is catching
it's fair.
The ball?
No, that's fair.
Okay. Giants side of the ball. So this is really tricky for me because I can't advocate for a Giants running back. It would just like... Tear me limb from limb to actually
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, not against his defense. Okay. Anyway, to your credit. Just Evan Ingram. Just because the targets are going to be there. And even like Sterling Shepard might play. He's their default number one receiver now. But if he's going to stare at Richard Sherman all game, I don't want to mess with Sterling Shepard.
So
week.
I agree. But if Sterling Shepard rolls out, I think you kind of got to plug him in.
It's fair. It's fair. He's a de facto number one.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
Okay. Seattle minus 5.
Yeah, I like Seattle's defense.
In New York.
Eli enough. It doesn't matter.
You know what's funny? So do I. Because the Giants are coming off a lot of travel recently, too. Okay, Denver at the L.A. Chargers. Believe it or not, the Chargers are favored by 1.5, likely because of Denver's QB situation. Denver ate the Chargers earlier this year. Cowboys side of the, I'm sorry, Broncos side of the ball, who do you like? Demaryius Thomas and?
Okay, so I'm rolling out Benny Fowler, dude.
Because he's the number two, because Emmanuel Sanders is out.
Two. He's going to get a decent amount of targets. Obviously, we can't guarantee production, but it's a nice situation now. If Casey Hayward is going to follow around Demaryius Thomas, which he should.
Name dropping.
then, yeah, I like the spot for Fowler. I think he has a chance to be really productive going forward. And that's kind of sort of it. CJ Anderson's been kind of a non-factor.
I know.
Jamaal Charles has been kind of productive, but he doesn't touch it nearly enough. I know they said they want to work him in some more, but
if you're desperate and he's going to touch it six times, sure, plug him in.
I don't too much care for it. That's pretty much it.
Okay, Chargers side of the ball. I want to say one thing. A lot of people have caught Phillip Rivers, which is understandable. He's not having the type of year that most of us had anticipated. I have picked up Michael Williams in all my leagues, and I'm rostering him. Not starting him, but I'd pick him up now because it's going to take 1 week in the next 2 to 3 weeks before he gets his legs under him. And when he does, he's going to start catching touchdowns. And I'm going to tell you guys, he's going to be the number one waiver wire ad. I say do it now because he'll likely take over the number 2/3 role there, which to me is very competent. Just wanted to throw that out there. Chargers side of the ball, Melvin Ingram, Keenan Allen, good luck with that.
Melvin Gordon, yeah, you got to start Keenan Allen.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah, no question.
Phillip Rivers, very reluctantly.
No way I'm starting Rivers this week against that defense.
I would. So last year, I remember we had broken this down many, many podcasts ago. He had a game where he was 115-1, and the other game he played against them, he was 302-3 picks.
You know, to your credit, even going back to week one, right? So they played week one, they were in Denver, and Rivers still threw 3 touchdowns. I mean, it was garbage time, but who cares, right? Fantasy doesn't discriminate.
I agree. Chargers, favored by 1.5. I think it's a pure sucker's bet. There's no way.
Dude, so I watched every minute of that Sunday night game last night, and Simeon is not bad. Losing Emmanuel Sanders is a big deal. I'm going to blight and take the Chargers, even though they're like the Lions and they just find a fun way to lose all the time.
Sucker's bet.
I'm going to take the Chargers here.
Sucker's bet. Hell no. And I'm a huge Chargers fan. Yeah. Okay. Sunday night. This is fun. I might actually, and people don't know this, you and I don't watch a Sunday night game together because usually I was out.
You're an old man and you're in bed at 9 p.m.
But this Sunday night game is worth staying up for. I might actually stay up. Atlanta at the New England Patriots. Patriots are favored by 3. Atlanta side of the ball, it's kind of like the start everybody, but I want to tell people I'm flexing and rolling out Austin Hooper this week. Because I kind of have to, and two, I love the matchup. Austin Hooper is like my number one tight end that you don't normally start, but you should streaming tight end. And I'm definitely rolling out Coleman. Go ahead on the Falcon side of the ball.
It sounds like you like Austin Hooper the way that I like George Kittle this week, so I respect that. Everybody kind of that you mentioned, I mean, it's the usual suspects. If Sanu plays, I'd even start Sanu, but I know that he's questionable.
Heck yeah, if he plays.
I will tell you, man, Matt Ryan's been struggling this year, but it doesn't matter. You're starting him against the Pats anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Patriots have given up in every game this season.
300 yards, yeah.
And 9 fantasy points to every tight end they've played.
That's a good stat. I like that stat.
Thank you. Patriots side of the ball. Tom Terrific, of course. Kevin Hogan, who's basically become the de facto number one. Damian Amendola.
Chris
Gronk.
Hogan. Oh. You're thinking, you have too much Cleveland Browns love, man.
Hogan. Anybody else on the New England? I'm not starting Gillislee anymore. It's way too hard to advocate for him. I think James White is okay here.
James White in a PPR is like you kind of have to every week.
Anybody else?
Deion Lewis, right? He led them in carries last week. He ran pretty effectively. That whole backfield is dicey as a whole. But, I mean, I think this is a good spot for him. And, yeah, I believe you said Amendola, right? I would do Amendola. Perfect. Amendola as well.
Okay, New England -3, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, the Pats.
Me too. Last game, Monday night, Washington Redskins at the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is fun.
I've got a great stat for you. Redskins side of the ball, go ahead.
Jordan Reed, obviously, if you own Pryor, you got to start him this week. Kind of sort of sneaky-ish play is Josh Dotson. Not getting a lot of volume at all, but he's scoring touchdowns. They like what they're seeing from him. They say they want to get him more involved. I'm done with Jamison Crowder. I don't want to deal with Rob Kelly or P. Ryan, whoever ends up getting the start, depending on Kelly's health. Chris Thompson is easily a must, though. Pretty much week in and week
out. Wanted to make sure you touched that. Good.
Yeah.
And then, did you know about the Redskins? Have not given up 100 receiving yards to any wide receiver this season. Have not given up 60 receiving yards to any receiver this season. Now, here's why the stat's a little backwards and deceptive. I'll tell you why, though. They have given up over 70 yards to a running back and a tight end this season.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to watch the stat. My point is, week one, when they played each other, I advocated to bench Alshon Jeffrey because Josh Norman was going to be up his arse, and that's what happened. As an Alshon Jeffrey owner, I'm still afraid to roll him out against this Redskins.
Norman, I don't think he's going to play. So if that's the case, it's easy.
Right.
And Rashad Breeland, you know, the next man up in that secondary is also banged up. So they might be down to their third corner.
Okay, so
already.
If that's the case, then I am rolling him out, but I got to check those reports.
Alshon easy.
That's what I wanted to caution the people is, if Josh Norman plays, I'm not starting Alshon Jeffrey.
I think I would do Alshon either way.
I wouldn't. Go ahead.
Alshon either way. Yep. Assuming Josh Norman and Breland are out, maybe you get lucky with a big Aguilar touchdown. Ertz is a must-start.
Must-start, yeah.
And Wentz is just about there as well. He's having a terrific, terrific year as a whole, fantasy and reality. And LeGarrette Blount, dude, almost 6 yards per carry. You got to roll out Blount, too.
Not almost is.
There you go.
Philly, 4.5.
I like the Eagles at home, most definitely.
Okay. Rams, this was great. I want to remind the people that we have started doing an NBA podcast with friends of the podcast that have been on before, Mo and Nader. That'll come out early next week where we do daily fantasy and we do weekly advice as well. We do have a Facebook page called Fantasy Advice Bros at facebook.com. Feel free to leave us feedback, give us a rating, or feel free to rate us in the pod store. Rams, I had a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, man.
Until next time.
Looking forward to it.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Advice Bros, presented by Gabber Media.